Well, I can't get away from this flaming tornado. You knew it was coming. You knew before you got in the car and drove over here. So I don't know how long we're going to be on this. And actually, I tried to preach something else tonight. No, I'd just be in disobedience. God in the human body. More than a relationship with God. God in the human body. See, that's a concept. We may have said it before, but it's a concept we're not walking in. Jesus walked in it. He said, "The Father, it is the Father in me. He doeth the works." And he uses a personal pronoun, he. It's not a relationship, although he had a wonderful relationship. But I think he's specifically wording things the way he did to get us to understand he, the Father, that dwelt inside of Jesus, he, personal pronoun, he doeth the works. Now, Jesus said the same works that he did, we're to do also. And he gave us, if you'll allow me the formula, in John 17, where he said, Father, talking about Christ himself, he says, I in them, that's Christ in us, but that's the Father. I'm going to say it the way he said it, first person. I in them, and thou in me. See, there it is. Christ in you is that new spirit. It is that creation that is created in righteousness and true holiness, made in the image of God. It is righteous and holy from the first instant you receive it. That is basically the Holy of Holies in this temple. That is the place, because there is a Holy of Holies, now there is a place in us, free by grace, where the Holy Spirit could come and dwell. See, the Holy Spirit would come upon prophets and upon kings and different people in the Old Testament, and Samson and different things. He would come upon them and they would do mighty things, but he didn't come in them. He came upon them, and he would come and go. Samson, you know, we got so much to learn about the anointing. Samson didn't even know when that anointing left him. He didn't realize it had gone. It said he wist not. He didn't know. So he went out, you know, he shook himself and was going to do a mighty thing like always. But the Holy Spirit wasn't there to do it. But see, Jesus gave us a promise. He says, I want to send you another comforter. This one, he's not going to be leaving. He's coming to dwell with you forever. Now, sometimes in my many years of walking with the Lord, I've almost felt sorry for the Holy Spirit. Because in a way, he stuck with me. If he was like many people, he probably would have rejected me a long time ago. How many of you know he's not like that? How many are really glad he's not like that? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Yeah, okay. He says, I can read it, or he's going to say it again. If you want to know what that was about. There's always a dialogue going on when I'm like this. And I was going to go ahead and say some other things, and he wants me to read this. And he says, you can either read it, or I'm going to say it again. And what he meant was the prophecy from this morning. I'm telling you, the staff here at the prayer center is amazing. Everyone from the cameraman to the video guy to the secretaries to the answering the phone, they have already transcribed those prophecies from this morning and sent them to my inbox and for a love offering of $19.95. Gary, when are you going to quit doing that? Probably never. It's too much fun. I was eager to hear these again myself. When prophecy comes, you don't get to judge it first. I hear it when you hear it. It's scary as all get out to trust God like that. But anyway, here's what he says. And it has to do with this teaching about the Holy Spirit. We're really talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit what that really is. We want to do it some more here this evening. But here's what he's saying about this season. He said, you shall learn, you shall walk in this truth. I am in you. And all things are possible. Your thinking will expand to stop limiting me and what I intend to do. I will fill the temple, and you shall manifest my love, my wisdom, and my power to this world in the name of Jesus Christ. Whew. Man. Then here he spoke again. I gave you, now this is interesting how he phrased it. He didn't say the Holy Spirit, although he did. I gave you a Holy Spirit by my grace alone. Now what is that? That's that new creature on the inside of you. A new creature created in righteousness and true holiness. It's a Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, but it's a Holy Spirit. I gave you a Holy Spirit by my grace alone. It is free by grace, but by that process, I empowered you to have total dominion over your flesh. How many years ago was it the first time we heard Dave say, as a born-again Christian, if you sin, it is because you want to. I empowered you to walk in the righteousness that I have given you. See, Abraham had accounted righteousness. And Abraham is amazing. The more I study him, no wonder he's called God's friend. It's amazing, a man without a new nature that would obey God the way Abraham would and trust God. But Abraham had accounted righteousness. He was not ever made a new creature. We have more than accounted righteousness. He did account us righteous, wiped the slate clean, accounted us righteous, but then he did something Abraham never had. That's this statement. By that Holy Spirit, I have empowered you to walk in the righteousness that I have given you. Not just accounted righteousness, but the power to walk in righteousness. Remember my word that says, and this is something that's going to have to be preached a lot more, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. See, holiness is different than righteousness. I remember the first time I heard Alan say this. I'm sure others said it before, but I heard Alan say it, and it impacted me years ago. He said, righteousness is God's gift to man. Holiness is man's gift back to God. In other words, an appreciation of the righteousness that he gave you. Then I'm going to walk by the light of it. I'm going to walk by the power of it. And I'm going to give you a holy life back. Got that? So without holiness, no man will see the Lord. My gift is righteousness. Your gift to me is holiness. To walk in that which I have empowered you to do. Now, but I have also given you another comforter who will also work together with you to keep not only your flesh under, but now my spirit in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit now. He is not confined to the boundaries of your flesh. I will use your surrender. Look at how he words this. I will use your surrender to empower all my goodwill for this world, says the Lord. This morning's example that I gave you, which I'm not going to read again, and it was about Reinhard Bonnke in South Africa. And at the instruction of the Holy Spirit, he had called a convention, I guess you'd call it, a meeting, a breakfast meeting for the leaders in South Africa, because God was about to really expand his ministry, and told him that he needed to get more partners working together with him for support. He needed it. So he did that, and he was just going to lay out what they're doing and not promising them unscriptural things, you know, like God will pay off your mortgage or whatever. But just saying, this is what we're going to do. And if God puts it on your heart, or if you have it on your heart that you'd like to help, you could help. That was his whole plan. So he presented it, and he was about time to, how many want to partner? Surrender. We're talking about surrender. And the Holy Spirit said, give an altar call. I can't imagine anything hardly more scary. This is a meeting of the elite of the elite of the Christian leadership in South Africa. It's so scary. But see, the way he worded that, I will use your surrender. Bonky, all these thoughts went through my mind. Here I call them to support me. I'm going to offend every one of them. They'll think, how dare he give an altar call thinking we may not be saved. I mean, you can just imagine the thoughts. But the thing I really admire, the surrender of Reinhard Bonnke. He just told him. He says, the Holy Spirit has just told me to give an altar call. Bow your heads. I love it. The end result, nobody expected this. Reinhard hadn't thought of it, and not one of those Christian leaders had thought of it. But when he gave the altar call, 17 people came forward to be saved. But they were not the Christian leaders. They were the 17 waiters and servants, the employees of the Carlton Hotel, that nobody had even given a thought to, except the Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus. Now, and that, by surrendering all of his thinking, all of your natural logic, by surrendering to the instruction of the Holy Ghost, not only did those 17 people get saved that would not have got saved otherwise, but it even increased more the inflow of the finances because they saw the fruit of obeying the Holy Spirit in Reinhard. See, we are so dependent on the Holy Spirit. If we're going to really have revival, we have got to come to that place of surrender. Surrender to this Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Now, I'm seeing the vision again. I sat out there in my car before I walked in and put these documents in a certain order at his instruction. Okay? And I'm just going to go through these. Gary, you've read these before. I may read them the next time, too. You didn't learn your multiplication tables by hearing them once. So remember this vision. I saw a candle, lit candle. I knew that was a born-again person. And I saw this flaming tornado left like a pillar of fire side by side. At first, I'm just looking at the two of them. If you can imagine the scale, I'm hoping someday to get graphics that we can put up on the screen. But, you know, we're in Oklahoma. You've seen a tornado. You know the scope, the size. If you've ever been near one, you feel like an ant. You know, the power is just so tremendous. The noise is just almost indescribable. Well, I can imagine what I saw, this pillar just like going clear to the sky. This thing's moving, man. I mean, it's in motion. Flames, I couldn't hear it. It was silent. He gave me a silent movie. I couldn't hear the rushing mighty wind, but I bet there was one. It may not have been. I don't know. But anyway, you start looking at those things side by side. I've got a comparison thing in a moment. Here's this candle that's 10 inches tall. It's right next to a tornado. Flaming tornado that goes all the way to the sky. Now, which one has power? Which one's the boss? What's amazing, though, in this life, we are co-laborers. We're the candle. The Holy Spirit is the tornado. But what's amazing, who did he give authority to? The tornado? We're the ones in authority. That's scary. I'll tell you this much. We're the ones in authority, but we're not the ones in charge. Now, that is a real prophetic statement right there. We are the ones in authority, but we are not the ones in charge. Just like that example from this morning, Reinhard, he's the one in authority. He's the one that could give the altar call. He's the one that has a body on planet Earth. He's the one that can do what the Lord wants done. Isn't that right? But he certainly wasn't his idea. He didn't even know what the Lord was going to do. But he was just obedient to that single instruction. And I have found that to be the path of life. You don't need to ask him about step two. Just obey step one. Then when you need step two, he'll give you step two. You see what I mean? Let me undo when the Holy Spirit came into you. See, and I'm looking around the room, and if you're watching this, more than likely you're born again and probably already speak with other tongues, and that means you've got the baptism in the Holy Spirit. See, there's not two different kinds. There's one Holy Spirit, there's one baptism. He either moved in you or he didn't move in you. If you can speak in tongues, he's in you. Let me give this analogy. You can be genuinely born again and on your way to heaven, but be taught from the pulpit that you're not free from sin, and you'll struggle with sin your whole life. You really will. Even though the truth is, you were free from sin the day you got born again. In the same way, you can receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost and not know what you've got, and walk without power your whole life, when the truth is you had a tornado in your tank. You had a tornado in your tank the whole time. Why else would Paul tell Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you by the laying on of my hands? And it's not a stirring. I always thought of a stirring a pot. No, the word used there for stirring is like a fire where the embers are getting low and you stir it up to get the flames going again. The Holy Ghost is in there. Sometimes we need to stir him up. Thank God for Pastor Dave teaching us how to pray in tongues. Stir up the gift. I like what Smith Wigglesworth would say. If the Spirit doesn't move, I move the Spirit. I think we're coming into that time now. Amen. I'm going to read this again. In a way, when the Holy Spirit... Help me illustrate this. We are... Remember that verse? We are the temple. Yes, 1 Corinthians 6:19. He knows how to put these pages in order. I didn't even realize it was on this. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, now get this, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. All right? So the way that's worded, you have the Holy Ghost, which is of God. But let me ask you, isn't the Holy Ghost God himself? There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Would I be stretching it then to say, what? You know you not that your body is the temple of God? What if I said it this way? God lives in your temple. What if I said it this way? God lives in your body. And I don't mean just your relationship. It's not what this is saying. No. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Wow. There's a tornado in my tank. Power unspeakable. In this body? Lord, I'm just trying not to get the flu. I'm just trying to get over a cold. I stubbed my toe, Lord. I'm just trying to get over the... What? We're going to get so far beyond health for ourselves. That's another lesson. So I want you to get to, I just picture yourself. I guess that's the way to do it. I keep coming up with this picture, Gary. Okay, so you're looking at me anyway. Sorry. I is what I got. Okay, to use here. There was a day before Gary had the Holy Ghost, and there's been all these days since Gary had the Holy Ghost. Now, Gary got saved. He was born again. My spirit went from death to life. Can I say it this way? My candle got lit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So Gary got born again. All right. And I had a new creature on the inside of me that is not God. It's not deity. Adam was not deity. Yet it plainly says Adam was the son of God, a man made in God's image. And that's what happened to you and me when I got born again. But I still don't have God the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. But the day I got born again, that's the day that there's a Holy of Holies now. There's a spirit on the inside of me that is created in righteousness and true holiness. All right? That gives me the power to walk free from sin, gives me the power to have dominion over sickness in my own body. But that is pretty much for me in my walk, to keep me walking holy and righteous, and I can fellowship with the Lord and hear His voice. But that doesn't really extend beyond me other than I can witness. Okay? But then there was a day. Like there was a day for Jesus. Jesus got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the way it's represented to us is as a dove gently coming down. How many of you know that dove is also a fiery tornado? But he has not come to harm you. For you, he comes gentle like a dove. But when you go into war, you're going out like the Ark of the Covenant. You've got the power of God himself. I want to say it. You have got God himself with all his power on the inside of you. It is like it's God. I know this is hard. It's hard for Gary to say it. That day, so can I say it again? There was a day when Gary got born again, but he did not become God. He's still not God. Won't ever be God. I'm a child of God. A man made in God's image. But then there was a day when a great change came. And God, the Holy Ghost, came into my body. Because it came into that reborn spirit. From that day forward, it's not just Gary going somewhere. It's God going somewhere in Gary. And God going somewhere in you. Everywhere we go. My goodness. In a way, that day that he moved in you, or in anybody, the Holy Ghost, it's almost like the second incarnation of God. Now, incarnation means God in flesh. The first incarnation was when God the Son, the second member of the Godhead, became clothed in human flesh within the womb of Mary. Jesus laid down his divinity and did everything he did as a man, made in God's image and anointed by the Holy Ghost. The candle is not divine, but the tornado is. But the second incarnation was when the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, became clothed in human flesh within the human bodies of the 120 people in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Once, see, the second member clothed in flesh in Mary, the third member clothed in flesh in you. But the difference is, the second member, he laid down his divinity when he was clothed in flesh. God the Holy Ghost, he did not lay down his divinity when he moved inside of you. Whoa. We are made... Oh, I'm going to back up. This is no less than the housing of God within human flesh. We are made in God's image, but we are not divine. But God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells us, is divine. He did not lay down his divinity when he became clothed in human flesh. The believer's human body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and all things are possible. Now, I'm going to read a little section here called The Flaming Tornado. Thoughts. I mean, this goes on for a long time. I'll sit and watch that vision for a long time, and it gives me time to make notes. Okay, some of it you've heard, some of it maybe not. So again, I'm watching that thing. I'm watched emerge. The candle is not divine, but the tornado is. I heard. So in the vision, I saw the candle and the flaming tornado first side by side. Now get this: one is man, one is God. The man is born of God. Yet he is not divine. The tornado is God the Holy Spirit, the very one who recreated the human spirit in the likeness of Christ within the man. You got that? Okay. The man is made in the... Okay. The tornado is God the Holy Spirit, the very one who regenerated or recreated the human spirit in the likeness of Christ within the man. It is very much like a parent and child standing side by side. One human and one divine. The man is made in the image of God, created in righteousness and true holiness. One, the man, has power over sin and sickness within his own body. The other, the Holy Ghost, has unlimited power over everything. One is born a babe in understanding. Now, we're not born a babe in righteousness, but we're born a babe in understanding. The other has all understanding. One does not know the plan of God. The other knows completely the plan of God. And you could say in total and individually. He knows the plan of God, and he knows your individual part in that plan. Every detail of it. One has no creative power. The other has all creative power. Now, the one has a body from this earth. The other is like the wind. It has power, but it has no tangible body. It is important to mention the scale of these two beings. The man in the vision, to me, was a normal size. The flaming tornado might better be described as the pillar of fire described in the Old Testament. It was thick and fearsome, reaching all the way to the clouds. In scale, there was no comparison regarding the level of power between the two. If you have ever been in close proximity to a real tornado, there's only one word to describe the emotion you'll have at that moment, and it is fear. We're coming back into the fear of the Lord, people. There is a reverence. He's daddy. He's also fearsome. Okay. Not only the sight of it, now talking about a real tornado, a physical tornado, not only the sight of it, but the sound of it. Remember I did that lesson, a rushing mighty wind? And the Greek actually says the sound filled the house. And every Greek scholar I've read after says, if you'd have been there, you would have heard it with your audible ear. Now, isn't that something? Most people describe that sound to be like 100 freight trains all passing by at once. And now imagine that fearsome, roaring tornado on fire. If that tornado was not your father, remember your spirit was created by the Holy Ghost. You got that? If the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall also quicken your mortal bodies. You got that? All right. If that tornado was not your father, you would run in terror. I don't have this on here, but I should. But he comes like a gentle dove to you. But that flaming tornado has not come to destroy you. That flaming tornado has come to co-labor with you to destroy the works of the devil. I saw the candle and the flaming tornado merge into a single column of fire. The candle was not consumed. I could still see the lit candle within the swirling flames of the tornado. And that's when somebody sent me a vision or a graphic of a man walking completely on fire that I showed you a few weeks ago. We've got to get that understanding. That's who we are. He's in you, on you, upon you. You have been, I like the baptismo was a common word used in the textile industry. If they wanted to dye a white cloth purple, they baptismoed it. They would put it on the end of a stick or something, and they'd take that white cloth and they'd put it down in that purple dye completely under. They'd leave it long enough for complete saturation. Now, this is coming. This understanding is coming to us. Listen, when you lifted that garment out of that dye, there was no part of the garment that was not full of the dye. I'm telling you, when you got baptized into the Holy Ghost, there is no part of you where the Holy Ghost is not. Baptismo, not sprinkled. Baptismoed. You've been dunked. You've been left in there to soak a while. When they bring you out, I'm telling you, we're going to get arthritis is going to leave people's hands. Cancer is going to run off like a scalded dog because the power of the Holy Ghost is in every cell of your body. I believe that. More and more I believe it from the Word. That's really what baptismo is. Mm. Gotta get those stuff. The two had become one. The candle and that swirling flame had become one. In the realm of the spirit, the tornado could be seen reaching all the way to the sky. But in the natural realm, all it could be seen was the man. See, the world, they see you coming, all they see is you. When the devil sees you coming, I think he sees a pillar of fire. I don't know about you guys. I have to talk to my feet to stand here to finish messages anymore. I'm telling you, floats my boat and heats my chili, I'm telling you. See, Jesus understood this. I'm going to say it again. John chapter 2, you don't have to look it up. Talking about his body. John 2, starting in verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Well, then said the Jews, 40, and they thought he was talking about the physical temple there. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and you're going to rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered what he'd said unto them. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus has said. Why would Jesus call his body the temple? Because it is the Father in me. And he means the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is also called the Spirit of the Father. I did a lesson a week or so ago called The Promise and the Gift. You remember that? This is the promise of the Father. It says, "I will pour out my Spirit." The Holy Spirit is his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, even though we know God the Father is in heaven, but if the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit is in you, then you can say like Jesus, "It is the Father in me. He doeth the works." I'm telling you, it's going to take all responsibility off. We're not required to produce any power. How many is glad about that? What are we required to do? Surrender. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. If there was only a church where some pastor would pioneer how a person could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't you wish there was a church where somebody would spend maybe 30, 40 years teaching that there was a way on purpose, if you want to, where you could hear the voice of the Holy Ghost? Wait a minute. We're in that church. That's exactly what Pastor Dave has done. And so gently and lovingly and meticulously laid out for us discerning the voice of God. This is how you do it. Praying much in other tongues. And when you read Reinhardt's whole book, you'll find out he's a man that spent a lot of time praying in other tongues. But that was not his mission to teach on tongues. That's Dave's mission. He's a pure blood evangelist. But he talks about praying in other tongues a lot and fasting, by the way. But see, like Dave would teach us, those prayers in tongues are just as much to be answered as any other kind of prayer. You don't know what you're praying, but God sure does. And you yield over to the one who knows the plan. Say, "Okay, I don't know what the plan is. Would you pray the plan?" "Okay, I'll pray the plan. Just sit here, epoxy your britches to a chair. Allow me to pray the plan." And you just start, all you got to do is just pray it up. Just pray it up. God the Father goes, "That's my will. That's my mind. That's my plan. I can answer that." And sometimes that answer comes back with instructions for you how to walk in that plan. And the job right there is to surrender. Just like Reinhardt did that morning, give an altar call. See, the closest I can relate to that, it's not just one, but one of the ones for me, remember that meeting I was doing in Ocala, Florida? And it was just a small group, even smaller than this group. And I'm just praying for them, going down the line. And this nice little lady, about 70 years old, that looked like a Southern Belle, perfectly coiffed, is that the right word? Perfectly fixed hair and kind of bluish tint to it, you know? Just a little Southern Belle, sweetest thing you ever saw. And she's shorter than me. I love people shorter than me. So I'm pretty short myself. She's about up to my nose, you know. And I'm getting ready to pray for this delightful little Southern belle about 70 years old, which I'm older than that now. But and the Holy Ghost says, put your finger in her mouth. My first thought, did I wash my finger? I don't think I even. I tell you what I thought is, no. If you want to know the truth, my first reaction was, no. I'm just going to ignore that completely. And I'm fixing to pray for her. Put your finger in her mouth. I'm going to ignore that. Thank you, but no. Third time. Oh, God. With fear and trembling. I had all these thoughts going through my mind like Reinhardt had to go into his. You know, what is she going to think? What are these people, Jesus spit on their eyes, but I never saw him put his finger in their mouth, you know. Anyway, I did it. You would have seen her. I kind of set her up, though. You know, do you want me to obey God? I'm trying to get her permission for me to do. Do you want me to obey God? Yes, I want you to obey God. Really? Are you sure you want me to obey God? Yeah, I want you to obey God. Gary, go ahead and obey God. Okay. So I got her, and I get her little face, and I take my left hand, and I put it on her chin, and I go, you know, yeah, opens her, like, and I take, and I go, poop. I wish you could see the eyes. They were like, in the name. And I didn't even know why. He didn't tell me why. I just knew. I just knew he told me to do it. I don't even hardly remember the rest of the service. I just prayed for everybody else to get out of there. Now, they wanted to have a little fellowship at the Pancake House. Actually, it was the IHOP after that. And so there wasn't very many people there anyway, small little group. Wouldn't you know, right? Sue's on my left side. Guess who sits on my right side? That lady. And I'm so, because as far as I could tell, nothing happened. I mean, when you obey God like that, what you want is something like Reinhardt got, where like 17 of them got saved and you knew it. I couldn't tell nothing happened, okay? Except I made an idiot of myself. Anyway, I was apologizing to her. Said, I don't know why. I've never done that before. She was just, oh, it's okay, Gary. I just want you to obey God. She said, but you might want to wipe the lipstick off your fingers. A year goes by. I'm going back to Ocala again. And she couldn't come that time because she had a granddaughter that was going to graduate from college, I think it was, or maybe high school on that same night. She just couldn't be there. But she called the pastor. Said, oh, you have to tell Gary. Be sure and tell him. Most of my life, I have really suffered from cold sores. I've just had so many of them. They get on my tongue. They get in my mouth. I've just suffered with them terribly. And she says, I just want you to know, I've hardly had one ever since he did that. And I'd like her to say she never had any. That's not what she said. But I've hardly had a single one since he did that. Hey, whatever the Lord wants to do to heal, let's let him do it. Amen. All right, surrender. I'm going to read that again. Now, that's the word that he said today. It says, I have given you another comforter who will also work together with you to keep not only your flesh under, but now my spirit in you. He is not confined to the boundaries of your flesh. I will use your surrender to empower all of my goodwill for this world, says the Lord. It is time to, see, you guys are the diehards, the ones here on Sunday night. But I believe this is a word even to the diehards. He's really after us in this season to recommit to prayer. Bump it up, whatever you're doing, bump it up. Really sharpen, hone that ability in you to discern his voice. Because I believe these kind of instructions are going to be greatly on the increase. And not just in meetings, on your job, at Walmart, in school. It's going to be difficult at first to surrender. We're all human. We all deal with it. What I mean is we all have emotions. What will they think? You know, who cares? What does it matter if obedience to him releases his power? It is time for us to surrender to the Holy Ghost. He is, say it with me. There's a tornado in my tank. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means I have God Himself living in my body. Where I go, God goes. He leads, I follow. When He speaks, I obey. And power is released into this world. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I believe that's the lesson for tonight. I'm going to go ahead and start the confessions now. I know not everybody can stay for the confessions, and that's okay. Personally, I like the confessions. I'm like anybody else. It's easy to slip out of the habit of calling those things that be not as though they were. And for me, it's a reminder every week to get back to making confession, not only on these things for revival, but also in my own personal life. Because of what's going on right now, I have dusted off my copy, if I could say it that way, of the In Him Confessions. Do you remember the In Him Confessions? If you don't, they're at our website, garycarpenter.org. One of the, you go to media, and one of the things you can click on, Angie, is it called printed materials? Printed materials. One of the documents in there is the In Him Confessions. That's who you really are. Everything in that document, that's who you really are. Created in righteousness and true holiness. All right. Don't want to start teaching again. Okay. I'm supposed to practice what I preach, right? I wasn't planning on sharing this. It won't take but just a moment. We're running early anyhow. This is a minor thing, but I can't get away from it. This week I had an invitation to go to Canada to preach up there. I haven't been anywhere in 4 years. I don't know if you guys have noticed that or not. The only place that I go, about the time that Dave stopped doing the regular services, and you know, shortly, what, a year after that or so, Alan had that stroke, and he didn't preach here for a long time. So during that time, the Lord told me to cancel all of our meetings, which we were traveling quite a bit. The only one He's had me do is the one in Ohio, because that's become kind of a Northeast conference, and a lot of people can come there that can't come here. But, I mean, I like to travel. I love to minister. I love to be on the road. But I'm just like anybody else. See, I have desires. I have things I want to do. I have authority, but I'm not in charge. I mean, that's a good line. We need to remember that. He's given us authority, but we're not in charge. He's in charge. So I'm just going to read this to you. It won't take very long. We're running early anyway. I received an invitation to minister in Canada this week. They asked if it was for only one day before or after the Dayton, Ohio conference. And I'm sure they're thinking, I'm already halfway there. You know, if I drive to Dayton, it's not very far on up to Canada. And I've been there before, years ago. Personally, I would love to go. And it would be an opportunity for Angie to go with me and have her first ministry trip outside of the USA. We're looking forward to that. First thing she did when she went to work for me was get her passport. We haven't gone anywhere. So, I mean, I appreciate the invitation. And I said, give me a day to pray about it. And let me see if the Lord would let me go. That same night, the Lord gave me this dream. I was sitting in one of the departure gates at Tulsa International Airport. I'm very familiar with those gates because of all the years of traveling I did with Crane Carrier, and then later traveling to do the teaching ministry. In the dream, I was sitting in the departure gate for Houston. I was aware that on my own volition, in other words, my own decision, I had packed my bags, bought the ticket, checked in my luggage, had gone through security, and now I was simply waiting for them to call me to board the plane. But in the dream, the call never came. I waited and waited and waited, and the call never came. Finally, it was late at night, and the airport was closing for the day. There would be no flight to Houston. The dream ended. The dream ended as I stood up to walk out and return home. Now, this was an easy dream for me to interpret, okay? And you'll see why. Interpretation. At first, it might seem confusing since the invitation came to minister in Canada and not Houston. But the Holy Spirit always deals with us using information He knows we will understand. Why Houston? Because Houston was the very first city where Sue and I ministered away from the prayer center in Tulsa. It's the first trip we ever made. Houston marks the beginning of our traveling ministry. And the Holy Spirit is saying, if I accept this invitation to minister in Canada, it will mark the beginning of a second wave of traveling ministry. And it is not the timing of the Lord yet to do so. Soon after Pastor Dave was not teaching regularly at the prayer center, the Lord told me to cancel all of our traveling ministry engagements except the annual prayer and power conference in Dayton, Ohio. That was almost 4 full years ago, and we have been obedient to His instructions. But the invitations keep coming in. Now, this is just the truth. Within the past few months, I'm just going to say less than 6 months, I have had invitations to in the states, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, Alabama, Florida, California, not to mention other countries such as, all within the last few months, Brazil, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, England, South Africa, South Korea, and more. And I keep giving them all the same reason why I don't come. I cannot say yes to one and no to the others. By using the city of Houston in the dream, the Lord was showing me, if I accept an offer to minister anywhere other than Tulsa, that will open the floodgates of traveling ministry again. Because I wouldn't be able to say, I can't say yes there and no other places. Now, I do believe that will happen in the not too distant future, but apparently the time is not yet. So I will say this. On Wednesday of this very week, March 21st, I said to Angie, I don't know any details yet, but things are about to change. We will be doing some traveling ministry soon. Having said that so recently, I was hopeful that meant that we could accept the invitation to St. Thomas. But apparently, soon is not now. So we'll continue to wait on the Lord and follow on the path where He leads. Does that illustrate in a smaller way? I'm not in charge. I have authority in the name of Jesus, but I am not in charge. It's not really my decision. And this is what I meant when I said I was bragging the other day that I'm a young man because I have more visions than dreams. And right after that, he gives me a dream. Anyway, in a small way, but the same Holy Ghost, you got that same Holy Ghost living in you. And His job is to keep us in the plan of God. If we pray and get quiet and listen, part of His job is to bring that plan to us in a way that we can understand it, whether it's a dream or a vision or He just tells you or however. So just know that same Holy Ghost is living in everybody. Okay.